Haven of Hope Church, a true Pentecostal church with outward and upward praise and worship of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. In the coming fulfillments of the prophecies of the Scriptures, the sea of humanity, in need and without hope, will flood our church. As God has promised in a word to us, if you remain faithful to me, I will remain faithful to you. With that promise in mind and the word that God has given us, we now know that Jesus Christ, through His church, has become the haven of hope for the hopeless. Haven of Hope Church, bringing hope to the hopeless in a hopeless world. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.
Welcome to Hope for the Hopeless, the sanctuary ministry of the Haven of Hope Church of God at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road just outside of Fremont. We pray the day finds you blessed and highly favored of the Lord. The Scripture says to give honor where honor is due and tribute to whom tribute, and we'd like to take this opportunity to say a very special thank you to Save News Network for making this ministry opportunity available to us here at the Haven of Hope Church. The following service is from our Sunday morning church service. It is indeed a joy and privilege to welcome you to our service this morning. It shouldn't take long at all for you to discover that the Lord has ordered your steps today to one of the best churches you've ever been. The people here are all about loving and caring about your family. Before you leave today, you will have discovered that you have new friends and that God loves you. Our worship music is covered by our CCLI copyright license, A20958803, Streaming Plus license, A20958810. And we're all just home folks, and we're all just family of God. But all together we'll be having church and praising and worshiping God together, as well as being fed the Word of God. It is our continued prayer that you're blessed of God, and may you be blessed by these services. If you need me for anything, please don't hesitate to call upon me, Pastor J. Mac Taylor. Now here's the message on Hope for the Hopeless from the Haven of Hope Church.
I do covet your prayers today, saints. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It is indeed a privilege to be in the house of God this morning. I want to say Merry Christmas to all of you. I want to thank the Lord for touching me and being with me. And I do need His touch and His strength today. Amen. Glory to God. Merry Christmas. I'll be reading from Luke chapter 2 and verse 1 today. Hallelujah. I don't know how long I'm going to preach, but I'm going to do my best to give you what the Lord's given me today. I don't know if I can do that. Hallelujah. Make it quick. We got Christmas to get to. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And they were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us go even now unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. I so strongly desire your prayers this morning. Father God, I am your man, I'm your vessel. Lord, use me today in whatsoever way you would desire. Use my voice, my mouth, dear God, my tongue. Let me, dear God, be obedient unto your word today. Help me, Father. Give me strength, Father. Give me strength today to be able to stand and deliver your word in this house. In Jesus' name, we magnify and praise you. And everybody said, amen. Y'all, you can be seated. Y'all remember last week, Pastor Sarah discussed the fact that the manger, what the manger was really made of. I want to touch on that a little bit more today, if that's all right with y'all. That be all right with y'all? Yeah. Hallelujah. Mangers were animal feeding troughs. I said that in my last church on Christmas Day, that they put the Lord in a pig trough, a feeding trough. And buddy, one lady, she blistered my hide after church. He was not put in a feeding trough. I said, that's what a manger is. It's a feeding trough. That's all it is. And the mangers, we always depict the mangers made of wood. Thank you, Brother Bob. Would you like to continue? Okay. And Glenn's going to lead singing. Okay. Hallelujah. The mangers were made out of hewn stone. They took a rock and they hewed it out like a big giant bow. Because, it's got to hold water. It's got to hold liquid feed. It's got to hold, you know, whatever they put in there to feed the hogs. And it's not what you would see in the modern day scene. And it wasn't comfortable. But you know what it was for? It was for great protection. Because, now, there's a whole lot that's tied into this message today. That this is the first time I've ever put it together. The first time I've ever seen it in my studies. I didn't realize the very significance of all these things that are taking place in Luke chapter 2. I have read it 40 years. And I have never understood until today the total significance of what all these things are. Those feeding troughs, those mangers hewn out of stone, they were great for protection. That's why those who were experts in that matter, the priests, they would put their newborn lambs in them for protection. Now think of, what would they put in there? Lambs. Say it with me, lambs.
Lamb.
They would put them in there for protection. But not just any lamb. They put the lambs in there that were perfect, without spot, without blemish. Because those lambs, they were the ones that were for the purpose of the sacrifice of the sins of the families. And so they would put those perfect lambs in those mangers, in those stones. And at Bethlehem, I love this part. I never knew this. Bethlehem, where Jesus was born, was famous for the unblemished lambs that were born in the country. But if you wanted to buy an unblemished lamb for your family sacrifice, more than likely you rode into Bethlehem to get it. Because that's where the most of them were born. God always knows what he's doing. God's always had a plan and he follows through with it. Sometimes it takes us 40 years to figure out what that plan is. Hallelujah. Now, are y'all starting to see the way all these details, just how significant these tiny little details of the birth of Jesus were? These lambs had to be perfect. They had to be without blemish. You know what a blemish is? A sore spot. No damage. So if they put them in that stone was apt to scrape them and cause a wound to come up. Now, and so when they had those brand new lambs that they put them in that stone manger for protection, you know what they did with them? I love this. They wrapped them in swaddling clothes. They wrapped them up tightly and put them in that manger to protect them from blemish, to protect them from injury, to protect them from the elements, to protect them from so many things. That's exactly why. Now think about this. That's exactly why the only time that the manger is talked about is during the birth of Christ. Think about that. And it's mentioned in Jesus' birth story as being told to who? Who would know about lambs being born to the flock? Shepherds. So when they told the shepherds, in Luke 2 and 12 it says, "And this shall be a sign unto you." He said, pay attention to this. And when he said this would be a sign unto you, he was like, y'all know what this means. Because didn't nobody, I didn't know what it means. But the shepherds knew what it meant. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And at that point, some of them shepherds had to be going, oh, wait a minute now. Oh, wait a minute. This baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger, is he the perfect Lamb of God? Oh, dear God, that just went all over me. Glory, hallelujah. The shepherds, they would have understood what this meant. The shepherds, they would have understood how powerful a statement this was. They knew that swaddling clothes, they knew what swaddling clothes meant. They knew what the manger meant. They knew what it was all coming down to. The baby, the baby was the spotless, unblemished Lamb of God. Hallelujah. The Messiah who would sacrifice his life for their sins and for the sins of the world. Hallelujah. He wasn't just a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. He was the precious Lamb of God. Somebody glorify the Lord today. And that was being pointed out. He was God, perfect, sinless, holy. He was the Lamb of God without spot and without blemish, humbling himself because he is, was, and always will be God. And he humbled himself. He humbled himself to become a man, to become a baby, and to be wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in that manger. He did all of that, humbled himself for that, to become the perfect sacrifice so that he could reconcile all of us back to him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That, my friend, that, my family, that perfect Lamb, that's why we celebrate Christmas. The birth of Christ did not come so that we could have another holiday to celebrate. It wasn't another one of the high holy feasts or the high holy Sabbaths. It wasn't a reason for everybody to get together and have a party. He came. It wasn't so we could get together and get presents or give gifts. But he came that we might have eternal life. Jesus said in John 10 and 10, I am come that they might have life and that they might have that life more abundantly. Hallelujah. What more abundant life can there be than life that is eternal in glory? Hallelujah. Somebody praise the living God. Thank you, Jesus. We as the church, not just us, but the church body, has the innate ability to take something so powerful, so significant, so incredibly wonderful about as much as our eternal salvation and turn it into something inane and boring? The church, let me help you. Before I got saved, I couldn't stand going to church. You want to know why? Didn't have nothing to do with preaching sin. I couldn't stand going to church because it bored me out of my skull. And I have been to churches since I got saved that bored me slam out of my skull. I love y'all, but there's been times in our recent history where I was bored to death here. And it wasn't because I wasn't trying to bring it, because I couldn't get nobody to wake up and get excited about what I was bringing. The church, sometimes we get so boring that we drive people away. We need to be glorifying Jesus. Where am I at? We need to be glorifying Jesus. It says Haven of Hope Church up here. I said we need to be glorifying Jesus. We need to be sharing the glory, the majesty, the incredible grace and mercy of our Lord and Savior, so that they are drawn to Him like a moth to the flame. Come on, somebody. That's why we need to continue to see the flames of Pentecost leaping through the church. That's why some of us need to wake up a little bit more on Sunday morning. I don't know what it is. Maybe we need to go to bed a little earlier on Saturday night, so that we could be awake when we come to church, so that we could put our all, so that we could give our all, so that we could give back to Him. I'm getting so tired of watching people. Lord, help me. I won't go in here. I'm getting so tired of watching people do something for the Lord. And I'm not going to use the word my daddy used to use. But I'm getting so tired of watching people do things for the Lord and doing it halfway. I have watched it. I have watched people in this church walk right by a piece of trash on the floor, look down and look at it, and walk on. I've seen somebody walk in and say something as simple as, hey, that toilet's still running over there in the bathroom. Well, did you stop it? No, I come and told you about it. I have seen folks, it's a sad state of affairs, saints, when I have to ask 3, 4, and 5 people to do the same job to get it done. And that's not even half of it. Then when I ask to get it done, they just do just barely enough to say they done it. And then I walk back behind it the next day, and because they didn't do it right, it's right back exactly the way it was before. Because didn't nobody care enough to give their all for God? When you do something for the Lord, the scriptures tell us that you're supposed to give it all to Him. Do it all. Give Him your best. When the little drummer boy came up to see Jesus, he didn't come up there with a big mighty gift because he didn't have one. And he went and told Mary and Joseph, he said, I ain't got nothing to give Him. All I can give Him is what I can play on my drum. You reckon he just went up there and went, there you go. He went up before the Lord, that little boy, and gave the Lord a concert of a lifetime to the very best of his ability. He probably played things he didn't know he could play. When I play to the Lord, when I play my guitar for the Lord, I'm forgetting that y'all are here, because I don't care whether y'all like it or not. When I play my guitar for the Lord, I'm playing it for him so that he'll receive glory. And this is my gift of worship to him. And when I do it like that, sometimes I'll look down and I'll be in the middle of worship and I'll look down and I'll watch my fingers do things and I'll say, wow, I wish I could do that. Wasn't that awesome? How did my fingers know to do that? I didn't know to do that. I want to give God my all. When I come to church, I want to give him everything I got during that service. I don't want to sit back and say, I wish they'd get done preaching. I wish they'd get done singing so I can go on to the truck stop. Hallelujah. We need to make sure that when we come to the house of God, we see the flames of Pentecost leaping in here so that people will be drawn to it. So that people will be drawn to the power of God that moves in the house of God. We need to remember the true, earnest reality of our Lord's amazing mercy and grace. When they took him and started beating him before they put him on that cross, he didn't say, wait a minute, angels, y'all come stop this. I've done enough. When they put that 400-pound piece of wood on his back and made him carry it up a hill a mile, he didn't say, oh, wait a minute, I ain't doing this. Angels, y'all come get this. He could have at any moment. When they started nailing them nails in his hands, he didn't say, wait a minute, angels, come stop this. While he was hanging up there suffering, dislocating his joints, dying, he could have called legions of angels to come take him down. Because he didn't have to do it. We need to remember the true reality of his amazing mercy and grace that has saved us from a devil's hell. We've given the world enough church to be bored, but not enough Jesus to want more. Would you stand with me today? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Do you love the Lord this morning? Did you come to church today to celebrate him? Or did you come because your pastor expected you to? What'd you come for? Did you come to worship and celebrate him? Hallelujah. Today, it's time to make a renewed commitment to the Lord. Lord, I'm not going to do anything for you halfway. I'm going to give my all for you. When I come into the house of God, I'm going to worship you. When it's time for me to get together and worship with my brothers and sisters, I'm going to let go of everything. I'm going to quit sitting there like a bump on a log. I'm going to be who I need to be for you because you were who you needed to be for me. Hallelujah. Would you come today to this altar as your Christmas gift, as one of the Magi, as one of the wise men, they came and brought him gifts. Would you come to this altar today and make that commitment with me? Hallelujah.
I just want to say thank you so much for being in the house this morning to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For opening your heart and just spending your love on him this morning.
Yes, praise God.
I feel such such a sweet presence.
Yes.
To know that he's been here with us. So carry him with you through the next few days as you celebrate with your families. Remember to celebrate him with your families. That it's not about the hustle and the bustle. It's not about the food or the gifts or the where you got to be when. And that it's the Lord loved us enough to be born into this world, to live a lifetime fighting and avoiding sin and dying on the cross for all of us. Love him during this holiday. I'm going to pray a closing over the service now if you bow your heads. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much for allowing us to be in your house today. Thank you for giving us a time and a space to spend it in your presence. And thank you for showing up here with us. Now, Lord, I ask you to keep each and every person under the sound of my voice safe, protected, and at peace until we come together again to worship your name. Amen. We got one last thing to do before we leave. We never leave a service without it. Do I have any volunteers that want to help me? That's okay. Do I have any volunteers who want to help me real quick?
Dear Lord, I'm a sinner.
Dear Lord, I'm a sinner.
Jesus, I know you're the Son of God.
Jesus, I know you're the Son of God.
I know you died on the cross for my sins.
I know you died on the cross for my sins.
And you were raised again on the third day.
And you were raised again on the third day.
Come into my heart, forgive me, Jesus.
Come into my heart, forgive me, Jesus.
Make me a new Christian.
And make me a new Christian.
Push the devil in the face!
We love you. Merry Christmas, and we will see you next Sunday.
Our worship music is covered by our CCLI copyright license, A20958803. A Streaming Plus license, A20958810. We thank you for joining us for Hope for the Hopeless on Save News Radio. Join us each week on the air or at the Haven of Hope Church at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina. Just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road just outside of Fremont, North Carolina. Service times are Sunday school at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., Kid Storm Children's Church at 11 a.m. in the Youth and Children's Center, Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m. with the fellowship dinner following service in the fellowship hall each Sunday night, Tuesday night old-fashioned prayer and deliverance service at 7:40 p.m., and Wednesday night youth church at 7:30 p.m. or on our Facebook page at the Haven of Hope Church group page. Come and join us at the Haven of Hope Church, Hope for the Hopeless in a Hopeless World. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.